Thank you for the song today. It was just what we needed to hear. The book of James, chapter number 5, is on my heart this morning. The book of James, chapter number 5. And once you've found your place, we would ask you to stand with us as we begin reading in the 7th verse of this practical book called James. James, chapter 5, and verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We want to preach today from verse number 11. Just want to build a simple thought. The patience of Job. Lord, would you touch us this morning and help us, Lord, as we try to declare boldly the truths of your word. God, would you touch us spiritually, Lord, and give us an unction. God, would you touch us physically and help us, God, to rise above. And God, I pray, Father, that you'll touch each hearer and each listener of the word, that they may become doers of the word. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, and we ask your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We thank you for standing. You may be seated. There can be no doubt that in the world in which we live in a culture of push-button gratification. We like to punch a button and get coffee from Keurig. We like to punch a button and roll the windows down and touch it again and the windows go back up. We don't like having to roll our windows down anymore. And it seems like we have all these modern day conveniences. You can get a remote control and you cut on the TV and you can change the channel and you can this. It is just amazing to me how that we have all these modern day conveniences, and yet the more we have, the more impatient that we grow. We pray about things, and if we don't get the answer instantly, we pout, we lay out, and we give up. Some of us, we pray, oh God, would you grant us spiritual maturity? Oh God, would you give us spiritual growth? But then you think that growth is going to come immediately. You see, God is not subject to the instant gratification culture. God does things in his own time and in his own way. Now, the word patience here is a Greek word. We look it up. It's hupomone. You want to write that down? It's H-Y-P-O-M-O-N-E. Again, H-Y-P-O, hupomone, M-O-N-E. This is what it means. Y'all looking at me? Let's say that my Bible is a 1,000-pound weight, and it is to endure a load or a weight that's put upon you, and to keep on walking, and to keep on serving, and keep on attending church, and keep on singing in the choir, and not wilt out or faint underneath the load that is laid upon you. And the day and age in which we live, people have become impatient going through the COVID and the pandemic. We've become more impatient than we've ever been before. And the Bible says you have heard of the patience of Job. Well, let's talk about that from the book of Job very quick. Would you turn back to the book of Job, chapter number 1. I want us to see Job's position. He is a devoted man. My Bible says there is a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word perfect doesn't mean that he's sinless. It means that he's mature. In that when he does sin, he confesses his sin and he gets right with God. And he's willing to offer sacrifice or do whatever, shed the blood, that there might be forgiveness of his sin. My Bible tells me that this is God's view of Job, that he is a perfect and upright man and one that fears God and one that eschewed evil. That means if there's sin, he turns away from sin. He avoids sin. He doesn't call for the binoculars to look at it. He doesn't get involved in it. He turns away from it, okay? That's his position. He is a devoted man. Who are you devoted to? Are you devoted to the world? Are you devoted to the things of the devil? Are you devoted to the things of God? Are you just devoted to you? Are you devoted to your family? That's good to be devoted to your family, but first we need to be devoted to God. Second of all, we not only Job's position seeing his devotion, but look at his delight. The Bible says that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a very great substance. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses. God has blessed him, and it looks like he has no need of anything else. But I'll tell you what, he did want something. He wanted more of God. Do you want more of God? What is your position today? Are you devoted? Are you delighted in the blessings of God? Has God been good to you? Amen. He has been very good to this old boy right here. Number 2, when we come down to verse number 6, we see Job's persecutor. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." In other words, he's looking for someone to challenge. He's looking for someone to tempt. He's looking for someone to try to destroy and defeat. And verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" That's what God said about Job. God said that he's a God-fearing young man. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? You've given him all these things, and you blessed him with all this great substance and all these wonderful healthy children. And just the reason he serves you is just cause you've been so good to him. But if you take away some of his blessings, and you take away some of the rewards you've given to his life, he'll cuss you to your face." Job was a despised man. He has a persecutor. May I remind you today that you have an enemy who is very real. And he is right now, at some point in time, appeared before the throne of God, and he's called your name. Take away the blessing. Take away the hedge. Cause a few problems in his life. He'll quit church. He won't serve God anymore. He'll let things go that he thought were so valuable in his life. You see, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And he's assumed that people only fear God because of the blessings. And so God says in verse number 12, the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. God is going to withdraw the hedge of protection in Job's life, and Satan will be permitted to attack. You understand that the devil couldn't do anything to you that didn't first get cleared through God. It's got to go through God's authority, through God's permission first. Whatever you're dealing with today, and you're trying, listen, know that God has allowed it. Therefore, let us learn from it. Number three, let us think about Job's problem. Job, this devoted man, this delightful man, is a despised man. Quickly, he becomes a distressed man. His time of suffering begins. I'm talking to somebody today. You've been a devoted man. You've been a delightful man. You've been a despised man. But now, suddenly, out of nowhere, you've become a distressed man. You can't explain it. And you've thought, boy, I've sinned against God. And where is God in the middle of this? Honey, I'll tell you where He is. He's on a holy, righteous throne. And He's allowed this to show you and to teach you and to grow you and to mature you. This is not over in an instant. It's going to take some time. But through this process, God's going to help you. I went out to walk my dog this week. And when I did, I noticed mushrooms had come up overnight in my yard. I could not believe. I remembered in spring when dandelions seemed like I could go to bed at night after I mowed, and the next morning dandelions have grown that tall. How in the world does that happen in one night's time? And then over in the mulch is an oak tree. And that thing, I've let it just grow. It's been there for 4 years. It's only now about that tall in that mulch. It's not good soil. But hear me, there's a difference here. You see, that oak tree, that great big one out in our yard, it started as a little bitty acorn. Something really small. And your faith and this trial of your patience that God is helping you within your life is not a mushroom. It's not a dandelion. God is wanting to grow you into a mighty oak tree. And He's growing your faith around the mulch of acid that's trying to defeat you right now. Job's problem involved unprecedented suffering. It was a surprise to him. He didn't see it coming. He had no idea things could get bad so quick. The book of James that I read from said, brethren, count it all joy. When you fall doesn't mean to stumble or to trip into. That means for God's hand to fall upon you. That's what it means. It's force. Brethren, count all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers, that's where we get our word diverse. Manifold temptations. Some of you this morning are going through more than one thing. You have 2 or 3 or 10 things right now on your plate, and it's unbelievable what's happening to you. This is unexpected suffering, and it's unprecedented suffering. He is quickly, in verses 13 through 17, a messenger comes and says, the oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and they've taken them away, and I'm the only one escaped to tell you, you've lost half your livestock. About the same time, someone else comes in and says, all your camels and all of your sheep have been taken away. He's completely bankrupt in one moment of everything that he has. You're doing pretty good. You think you got a hardship or a trouble, but you could go to McDonald's this afternoon if you wanted to. Job is bankrupt. Maybe I'll talk to somebody here. You're bankrupt of all your possessions. You've lost it all. And you don't know where to turn. It's unexpected and it's unprecedented. It doesn't stop there. In verse 18, while he was yet speaking, another messenger came. In verse 19, there came a great wind from the wilderness. You see? It smote the four corners of the house. That is an attack on the family. There is a wind from the wilderness that's attacking your home. You think it's a soft, gentle breeze, but it's getting ready to turn tornadic and tumultuous, and a storm's trying to tear your whole house down. And word came that all 10 of Job's precious children, that he raised, prayed for every day have been killed in this event. Job is now bankrupt of everything and bereaved of all his children. And yet, he kept serving God, and the devil came back and said, well, skin for skin. You touch a man's health. You protected his health. Let me get a hold of his health. He'll cuss you to your face. God took the hedge of protection off, and now boils, cancers, whatever they were, came up all over his body. And he's in pain. He's suffering. No medicine, no salve, no doctor, no nurse is going to cure him. Sickness abounds. And then his precious bride walks up, Mrs. Job, that their love for each other had borne 10 children into their family. And now they're going through bereavement and bankruptcy together. And Mrs. Job, watching the health of her husband wane and fade and disappear, she becomes frustrated and she said, you need to cuss God and die. What an encouragement. And he told her, he said, woman, you're talking like the foolish women talk. In other words, that doesn't sound like you. You've been by my side for all these years. We've served God. We've been together. God's blessed us mightily. Girl, watch your mouth. You see, patience. When you're under the load and under the pressure, you need to watch your mouth. You may stand and say, oh, I'm patient. But if you've complained, if you've murmured, if you've bickered, if you've quarreled, that's not real patience. You have heard of the patience of Job. I'm talking to somebody today. There's a diagnosis in your family. Unexpected, unprecedented. What are we going to do? Honey, you better go to God. And the devil is launching an attack to say, where is God? Everybody else, somebody else got healed. So-and-so got healed. Why doesn't God help your family? Where is God? And get you to lay out of church and get you to quit praying and take you from the Word of God. And the next thing you know, you are ruined. Job did not quit serving God when he lost all his possessions. Job, can you imagine the embarrassment of not being able to pay your bills? I bet they talked about him all over the church. But Job remained faithful. No matter what they said, what the banks had to say, he was faithful. And when word came that all his children were taken, he still served God. And when he got boils on his body, he still served God. And when his bride said, cuss God and die, he still served God. And then his buddies come. They come to be comforters. I just preached on comfort. They came, three of them. They sat and looked at him for 7 days. And he was so broken, they couldn't even render a word. They couldn't say, brother, we're praying for you. They didn't say a word for 7 days. And then when they did open their mouths, they faulted him and blamed him and said, this has happened to you because you are a sinner. You are a rascal. And they had no idea why God allowed the trial. They had no idea that Satan had appeared before the throne of God. They had no idea. Listen, you and your family are under spiritual attack. Assault from the devil. I'm telling you, because the devil has his sights set on you and focused on this church, don't you complain. Don't you murmur. Don't you give him the time of day. Don't give him any glory. Don't give him any honor. Don't give him any credit. Don't give him any satisfaction. If he wants to ride me, he's not going to get a saddle. He's going to ride me wild and barebacked. Amen? It is unexplained suffering. Now, Job doesn't know why all this is happening to him. In fact, he told his buddies in Job chapter 16, verse 2, he said, you are miserable comforters. You ever had some of them? I have. Now, we read the book, and we see why it happened. We understand. Knowing this, we get in a trial, or two or three, and we're ready to quit. We're ready to go get in the cave and hide, go under the carpet, let nobody know I'm on the premises. I don't want, listen, honey, if you're going to give glory to God, do it in the middle of the trial too. Don't just give Him glory before and glory after. Give Him glory in the middle. Okay. It's undeserved suffering. Undeserved? Undeserved. He's attacked by the devil. Now, let's go back to the New Testament, and let's look in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. It's right after the book of James that we just read in, the book of 1 Peter. Did you know that I believe, 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe Job was suffering because he's right with God. I got a few amens. Let me see if I can get some more. He's serving God, and the devil's mad, and that's why he's suffering. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You see, I can suffer for doing wrong. But I can suffer for doing right. Preacher, that don't make no sense to me. Okay, let's talk for a minute. Bible 101. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Jesus was sinless. Amen. Yet Jesus died on a cross for a sinner. Amen. In a sinner's place. Amen. Why did He have to suffer when He was doing right? It's better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Let's read on. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Shout now. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that you may be able to, or when it, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Amen. Let's skip at verse 15. Look at this. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When you're suffering, rejoice. Give God glory. Give God honor. The platform God gave you before, He gives you then, remain steady and steadfast and give God the glory. Chapter number five, verse number 10. And I read something to you in James chapter 5, this same word established, that means to build a wall to protect your heart. It means to keep the devil out. It means to keep the world out, but it also means to keep me in. Amen. Look what this word established. Look at it. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The goldsmith takes the gold, puts it on the refiner's fire, and the impurities come to the top. He takes those, burns those off, throws away the dross, lets the gold, takes it off the fire now, lets it cool down, and begins the polishing work. And he knows he's done when he sees his image in it. Can God see Himself in you? That whining, complaining, sniveling, grumbling, I don't like this trial, I'm
burning.
I'm telling you, that's not, that needs to burn off. That's got to go away. That's not patience. One of my favorite preachers, Dr. Smith, went through a terrible ordeal. I mean, the man of God, seeing hundreds and thousands of people saved. Somebody saved in his church for 9 straight years, every single service. At that place, he came home to see his wife and his family for lunch. The little boy, Sonny, said, "Dad, can I be excused?" And he had his short britches on, and he went out to ride his tricycle on the wraparound front porch. And he said, "Sure, son." He kissed him by, and he went back down from the pastorium to the church. And the secretary said, "There's been an accident. You've got to go back home." I just left. I mean, this is unexpected. This is unprecedented. I mean, an accident at your house? What could possibly be wrong? No cell phones, no text, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no TikTok. He goes home and fire trucks everywhere. He jumps out of the car, comes running across the yard. And when he comes running across the yard, the first thing his wife says, "Honey, Harold, it's Sonny." "What happened to Sonny?" The boy next door was playing with matches. And Brother Tim, he threw one of them matches in one of them big oil tanks. What do you think had happened? Kaplooey. That thing blew up. And it not only burnt that house, but the parsonage next to it. And little Sonny riding his little tricycle on the front porch, it burned him to a crisp. Can you imagine? And he said, "I've got a little casket laying in front of my pulpit where God is saving people left and right. And I'm standing there, and the devil jumps on my shoulder and says, 'Where's your God at now? You can't pray for your family. He can't protect your family. Why don't you just quit preaching and give up?'" And he said people were coming through the line, and a woman that stood in line, a woman came to him and said, "J. Harold Smith, this happened to you because of sin in your life." People are cold. Miserable comforters we are. He said he bowed on his knee before, and he said, "Ma'am, if you know what my sin is, you please tell me, because I want God to forgive me. I've got other children in my home. Please tell me what I've done." And she couldn't, because there wasn't anything. The next woman coming through the line grabbed the hold of the preacher's hand as he stood back up. And she said, "Preacher, I too know what it's like to lose a child. And I want you to know that I'm lifting you up." And he said a tear ran off her face and hit him on the back of his wrist. And she walked away. And he said the Holy Spirit came and said that first woman was the devil trying to convince you to quit and to give up and listen to the devil. But I sent that second woman right behind that other woman. And I want her, listen to what she said. "I know what it's like to lose a son. I know what it's like to have a son die when he didn't deserve to die. I know what it's like to see a son bleed and die and be ridiculed and spat upon. And I had to hold my righteous indignation back from destroying all of mankind. And yet I know what it's like to lift him up. And I'm telling you, J. Harold Smith, I have your son. And if you ever want to see him again, you preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ through this trial." And he said, it was in that place I made a decision. At the worst trial of my life, I decided I'm going to remain faithful, steadfast, unmovable. If I preached before, you wait till I preach now. You see, he said, "I'm sending up building materials for our mansion when I'm preaching, and I don't want to live in no shanty. I don't want to live in no shack. God has a blessing for somebody today if you'll remain faithful through this trial." Now, I think about Job's. Go back to Job. I'm almost done. You know the story better than I do. Maybe you ought to preach it. But the Bible says, we think of thirdly or fourthly, Job's patience. This devoted, delightful, despised, distressed man is now a dependent man. Verse 20, chapter 1. Are you there? Then Job arose and he rent his mantle. He shaved his head. He fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? He worshiped. He worshiped God in the worst trial of his life. He worshiped God when his children were dead. He worshiped God when he had lost every possession that he had. Look. He remembered the Lord. Listen, the only reverence God be remembered the Lord. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Outside of Jesus, I don't think anybody suffered like Job did. And yet Job, what did he do? Job worshiped God. All he had left when he lost everything. Imagine how many times he'd sacrificed and gave the Lord. And you know what he did? He sat down in an ash heap where all those ashes were of past sacrifices, of past worship service. He just sat down in those ashes and said, God, I don't have anything left but me. And I'm going to keep serving you with all my heart. I'm going to remain faithful to God. Now, the Bible will tell us very clearly in the book of James, where we started. Read it with me and I'm done. The book of James, chapter 5, verse number 11. Behold, that means look. We count them happy. That means it's makarios. It means blessed. We count them happy. Them blessed, which what? Endure. Endure what? Endure the trial. Will you look at me? I'm talking to somebody today. You've got a trial. There's a weight, a load. There's pressure. God will help you to keep walking. God will help you to keep serving. God's going to help you to endure. God's going to help you through this thing. Remain faithful to God. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. We remember the story. Job remained faithful. And God convicted his friends and said, you've done my servant Job wrong. Take him some oxen. Have him pray for you. And they came with their oxen and saying sorry. And God said, go pray for your friends. And he slayed those oxen, sacrificed them to God. When he had nothing else, he gave everything he had to God. And he got down, he started praying for his friends. Those that had despitefully used him. Those that had shamed him. Those that had scorned him. He prayed for them. And God, in return, gave him double. Double the sheep. Double the camel, double the oxen, double the asses. He gave him 10 more children. Preacher, that's not double. Oh, yeah, it is. He's already got 10 in heaven. Now I have 20. He made Mrs. Job bear 10 more children for what she said. Say amen. Amen. We've heard the end of the Lord. God showed me this. When you remain faithful, not only does God promise to reward you and give you double. I'll be honest, that's a blessing, that's great. But this is really what excited me when God gave it to me. The end of the Lord. That he's very pitiful, very kind, very compassionate, and he's of tender mercy. Job, the trial on Job's head, proved to the devil. The devil who had accused him and just attacked him. Job proved to the devil that a Christian can serve God with blessings or not. Let me get up here where you can see me. I have an announcement. The attack, the assault you're going through, the devil says, they'll not make it. and be done with you. Somebody here needs to be willing to say, oh God, I can't handle the trial. But there's nothing me and you can't handle together. So Lord, I'm inviting you. Would you help me get underneath this load? And God, would you help me show the devil I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to quit preaching. When my friends turn against me and everything's going south, I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to go back in the choir. I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to stay after it for the glory of God. And me and the Lord's going to keep walking. And we're going to prove the devil. We've seen the end of the Lord. Not only does he reward double, but the end of the Lord is he shows the devil up. And I want him to help me do it desperately. You today must decide to keep on serving. Will you hear me for just one more second? Are you being tested? Are you being tried? God will not try you. God will not test you or tempt you to do evil. He will not tempt you to sin. Okay? Now listen to me. God never tests a worthless vessel. So, oh man, I feel that. If you are being tried and tested today, it's that God sees value in you. And he's going to help you overcome this trial. And when it's over, you're going to see the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful and of tender mercy. I can't quit. Job 42. One more thing. Lord, help me. He gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. We see the names of his girls. Important. Look with me in verse 14. After this trial, he called the name of the first, Jemima. It means peace like a dove. Peace. Job 42 verse 14. I don't know what I said. I'm crazy sometimes. Job 42 verse 14. He called the name of the first, Jemima. That means peace like a dove. This is a man who has suffered. You talking about having what post-traumatic stress disorder? If anybody ought to have it, he ought to have it. Right? But he named the name of the first, peace like a dove. The name of the second, Keziah. You know what that means? Fragrance. There's a smell to worship. God is pleased with that sweet savor of worship. The name of the third, Karen Havoc. You know what it means? Child of beauty. God sees you today coming through this trial as a child of beauty. Maybe you're here and the trial is on. And I've tried to encourage you. Step up to the challenge. God's going to see you through. Maybe you're here and you've been in the trial and you have flubbed the dub. You didn't stand up to the test. You did tuck your tail and run. You did fail in your decision making. You did quit on God. You did not endure patiently as Job did. Simon Peter was there. Peter 3 times before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. I'll never deny you, Lord. When the trial came, he denied him. He denied him. And then he cussed and denied him. Amen. He failed. Amen. But I have an announcement. Failure is not final with God unless you let it be. God has sent me here today to tell you that he has given you a refresh, a redo. He is going today to forgive you of the failure and is going to restore what's been stolen from you. Though the trial may not be completely over yet, God's going to help you finish it. You stand to your feet. Your head's bowed, nobody's looking. Somebody needs to step out. You need to come to the altar. need to say, God, I wasn't praying for patience, but Lord, during this trial, help me to be patient. Be somebody here. Think it right now. That should have been me. I need to be saved. You see, here's the thing. I was praying with a brother now. He said, I said, have you had religion? But now you want a relationship. There is a difference between the two. How many times today for having a religious service? I came today to deepen my relationship. The hell of Jesus Christ. And it comes that Jesus has saved you too. And you will trust Jesus will spare you. Some of you right now, you're just shocked.
Oh, come on. Come on, preacher.
The preacher in Chicago, he would preach every service. And he would say this to his people at the end. I want you to meditate on what's been given to you today by the Holy Spirit, and want you when you go home, come back next week and make a decision on what you learned today. And he did it every church. And oftentimes he would have people come back the next week and be saved. But one night he preached conviction all around. And he said, I pray that you'll make a decision before. of it. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you've got a hand raised. We had somebody saved and the whole church showed up tonight. All alive. You're watching me right now. You raised your hand. Don't just bow your head. Would you tell Jesus that you're lost? Would you tell Jesus that you're a sinner? I have to do that. The greatest thing in my life, God told Jesus I'm a sinner when you forgive me. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Tuning in. So thankful for those of you that just got saved. Just give us a little note. Let us know. I called on Jesus and I'm not ashamed. Maybe there's somebody here, Pastor Derek, I'm under a trial and I've asked Jesus to help me endure the trial. Send us a note. Let us know. The devil needs to be defeated. Amen. If you're watching online, God bless you.